At Aunt Susan's, we usually stayed in one of the motel-type rooms just up from the clubhouse. The motel-type rooms were actually a couple of rows of cinder-block buildings with rooms along both sides. Most of them had a queen-sized bed and either a twin bed or a set of bunk beds with a dresser or small chest of drawers for storing personal items. Since it was a nudist camp, there wasn't much need for clothes storage. Some rooms were bigger, some were smaller, but the contents were generally the same. In 1978, since my family was staying the entire summer, we got one of the standalone cabins farther back, up the hill from the clubhouse. When we got to the camp, things started out mostly the same. Little changed from year to year at Aunt Susan's, and the camp was just as I'd remembered it. The entire center of the camp was on top of a very large hill, more like a ridge. The crest of the hill was several hundred yards behind and about 80 feet above the clubhouse, with a sandy road leading down the gentle slope into the camp proper. The sandy track led all the way, several miles, back out to the padlocked chain gate that protected the property. But once you crested the little rise behind the camp, South Carolina pines and sandy soil gave way to one-room cabins and small mobile home trailers permanently parked on blocks and wired for electricity. Down the hill, the cinder block motel-type buildings were off to the left, and the clubhouse was on the right. The road continued for several hundred yards around to the left, down a bit from the clubhouse, toward a few of the permanent, regular-style houses occupied by the camp's full-time residents, like Aunt Susan. Where the road bent gently to the left to follow the brow of the hill toward the houses, the ground sloped off to the right more steeply until it leveled out before the large freshwater lake. While the lake was spring-fed, it was actually man-made. There was a natural, and much larger, feeder lake to the left. An earthen dam with a concrete spillway let water overflow from the feeder lake into the man-made swimming lake. The swimming lake even had a brick coping around the entire circumference, complete with wide concrete steps down into the deepest, tree-shaded end. The lake also sported a canvas-covered raft of styrofoam and wood. Being spring-fed, the lake was cold, even in the heat of summer. Down the hill from the clubhouse, on the side opposite the road, were shuffleboard courts and a sand volleyball court. Behind all that was a playground for the younger kids. The entire camp and surrounding woods were bigger than I've ever been able to explore, given over mostly to the pine tree forests and sandy soil that are dominant in that part of the country. The clubhouse itself was often the center of life for the camp. There were several screen doors into the clubhouse, but I almost always used the side door next to the sandy road. Inside the cool confines of the large building, there were a few ping-pong tables, an old pool hall-style pool table with the coin slots removed, and an air hockey table that always seemed to need repairing. Toward the back of the building, and to the right of the game tables, there was a big bathroom area with a wall of sinks and an open shower area. I know it sounds strange, but this was a nudist camp, so there really was no need for privacy in the showers. There was, however, a door off the shower area that led to a room containing several stalls and toilets. Past the game tables and the wall holding the sinks and containing the bathing area, the bulk of the clubhouse unfolded. Off to the left, in the front part of the building, there was a large fireplace with almost a dozen couches to the sides and in front of it. None of the couches matched each other, and must have all been donated to the camp. Behind the couches and past the game tables, on the other side of the wall next to the bathing area, were all sorts of tables and chairs. On the far side of the back wall was the kitchen. The kitchen area was fronted by a long counter, with curtained-off storage space underneath it. Behind the counter on the back wall, there was a row of stoves, followed by several sinks, each separated by about a foot of counter. On the back of the bathroom sink wall, there were refrigerators. All told, there were probably a dozen stoves and half as many large sinks, as well as at least 8 refrigerators. Each family brought a couple of baskets. We used laundry baskets, full of food and drinks. Everyone picked out their own area under the counter and in the refrigerators, and it was mostly on the honor system. There were no names on stuff in the refrigerators, but most everyone had their family name on the food baskets stored under the counters. You just knew where your stuff was, and anything that wasn't your stuff, you left alone. Out the far side door of the clubhouse, the one opposite the side door near the road, was a large patio with steps leading down to the shuffleboard and volleyball areas. Out the front door of the clubhouse, in the wall opposite the kitchen area, there was a grassy lawn that stretched all the way down the hill to the lake. That was the world of Aunt Susan's camp, and my family was there for the entire summer. We pulled up to our new home away from home, and all of us got out to stretch, stiff from the long drive from Atlanta. We also wanted to look at the cabin's accommodations. The cabin that we'd gotten was quite a bit larger than the motel-style room we usually stayed in, but it was still small. It still had the bunk beds and one queen-size bed, but it also had a cloth-covered couch and a pair of easy chairs. And best of all, it had a small but private bathroom, complete with a bathtub and hot water, courtesy of a small water heater in a closet on the back wall. The front of the cabin was a covered porch, with a pair of rocking chairs flanking the entrance. Inside it was really one big room. The bunk beds were immediately on the left, the larger bed in the left rear corner, the bathroom in the right rear corner, and the sitting area off to the right of the door. Once we'd scouted out the inside of the cabin, a tour that took all 30 seconds, we began to unload Mom's station wagon. We unloaded our folding lawn chairs and loungers first, and stacked them up on the front porch of the cabin. Next came the two large bags with bedding and pillows, bath towels, and the family's beach towels. And finally we unloaded our travel bags stuffed with flip-flops, bathroom stuff, and other vacation items every nudist family needs, frisbees, swim fins, masks and snorkels, and various other goodies. Dad then drove us all down to the clubhouse to unload the food and drinks. When we got there, it was late in the afternoon, and there were few people around, mostly older couples who were year-round residents. Mom and Dad said hello to most of them, as Aaron and I began lugging in the baskets of food and drinks. Her greetings finished, Mom came over to the kitchen area to supervise our unloading and to claim an area under the counter and in one of the refrigerators. Mom would periodically have to drive back into town to shop for more groceries, but for the time being, we were all set. Once all the unloading was completed at the clubhouse, we all piled back into the car and drove back up the hill to the cabin. Dad parked the car around behind the cabin, while Mom, Aaron, and I all went inside to unpack. Aaron and I opened our suitcases and simply dumped the contents on our bunk beds. By long tradition, I took the top bunk, and I simply slung my suitcase up there after extracting my towel and flip-flops. Aaron was doing much the same thing. The unpacking completed finally, we all shed our clothes. After we'd gotten our clothes off, Aaron and I made a beeline for the screen door. Mom called out from across the room where she was unpacking on the larger bed.
Whoa! Stop!
Aaron and I pulled up short of the door and looked back at Mom.
Paul, come here.
she said, extracting the sunblock from one of her bags.
You go on, Aaron.
I sighed and started walking toward her. It was a familiar routine, and while I hated getting a sunburn, I also really wanted to get down to play in the lake. When I got to her, I turned around to present my back and shoulders. Aaron gave me a nasty little sister, triumphant smirk, and bolted through the screen door. She always tanned better than I did, and never got sunburned. Sometimes there just ain't no justice. Mom squirted the cool cream on my back and shoulders and began to rub it in. She rubbed down the tops of my arms as I obediently stood before her. When she was done, she closed the top of the brown bottle and swatted me on the behind.
Go on, have fun.
I raced out the door with a quick,
"Thanks, Mom,"
thrown over my shoulder as I went.